Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brian, thank you very much. Now, Mayo Ladies football legend Cora Staunton has this morning called time on her AFL women's career. Staunton was the first female player to make the move to Australia back in 2017 and went on to become the GWS Giants' all-time record points scorer. And I'm delighted to say that Cora joins me on the line now. Good morning, Cora.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
Very well. And how are you? This is a huge decision for you.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But I suppose one I've probably made months ago. And I suppose it's only been released to the media now by obviously the Giants media team. So obviously overwhelmed this morning because I've got lots of messages. Obviously, most people have realised. Obviously, my close family and friends knew a couple of months ago, but yeah, I suppose a big decision, but yeah, one ultimately I'm very happy with.
Yeah, and you're obviously settled with the decision given that you made it a couple of months ago, but what was that like trying to arrive at the decision?
It wasn't too bad. Obviously, you know, I've been over at the club for 5 years and done six seasons there. I suppose when I arrived back in 2017, I initially thought I'd only be there for 1 year. So, you know, to do six seasons then was huge, especially, you know, at my age. I suppose, you know, I kind of knew last season we had a change of manager over there. And I suppose the direction of the club is going a little bit different. We brought in a lot of youth, and I suppose the club are probably a few years away from, you know, probably achieving success over there now. So that probably made my decision easier. I knew I wasn't probably going to be part of that success long term. So, yeah, it was probably easier for me to step away and probably let the club build up from the ground yet again. Mm-hmm.
Was it hard to come to terms with that?
No, not really, I suppose. I'm very much, you know, I've been lucky to be playing sport for a very long time. You know, I've had 23 or 24 years of Mayo, and then lucky enough to at 35 to go and play a professional sport, you know, for 6 years. So, you know, I'm involved now with Galway Camogie in a role with them, which, you know, I'm really enjoying and kind of seeing the other side of sport. And no, I'll still tip away and play a bit of club football here at home with Cairnicun. And, you know, I enjoy that kind of a little less pressure. I suppose I've been used to my career with a lot of pressure on me since I was probably 12 or 13. So,
yeah, there'll be plenty of people listening now who'll say there'll be plenty of pressure too in club football. And you know that too.
I don't know. I you know, I just go and enjoy it. As I said, you know, that's, I haven't probably played properly with them over the last few seasons because I've been in Australia. So I'll enjoy that. And as mm-hmm. I said, I'm really enjoying my work with the Galway Camogie senior team. You know, they're a great bunch of girls. I was down in Cork with them yesterday, and we have a league final to look forward to in 3 weeks' time. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying the other side of the line at the moment. Yeah, sometimes it's hard, but I'm very lucky that I got as long out of my career. You know, I've been playing, you know, to be playing till, you know, 41 years of age. I suppose when I started, I never thought that'd be the case. And to get the opportunity to play professional sport probably was the icing on the cake then.
Yeah, what's that like? Because it's a different setup. It's a professional setup. How different is it from Gaelic football here and the GAA here?
Yeah, it's just a lot different, I suppose. Like, the biggest thing, obviously, it's your job. You're getting paid to do it. So that's the biggest thing. But it's just that, you know, you're being a full-time athlete. You get the best out of yourself. You have time to recover. You know, you have all the resources on hand to make you better, whether that's, for instance, conditioning coaches, dietitians, whatever it might be. So, yeah, you just have every day you're spending making yourself better. And, you know, I've said to a lot of people I've talked to while I've been over there, you know, I certainly became a better athlete. I became fitter. I became stronger while I was over there, just because I had time to put into myself. I suppose when you're here and you're playing amateur sport, you have to try and work a full-time job. And it's very hard to get the best out of yourself. I suppose, you know, what gives me great enjoyment is to see the pathway, I suppose, that's been created now, and the amount of Irish girls that are out there and currently will be moving out there very shortly. And that number, I'd say, will be up in 30 or more in the next couple of months. And that'll, you know, going to increase. So the opportunities that young girls have now, you know, that I probably didn't have when I was younger is huge. So
you blazed a trail, Cora, and that's been said already today by many. And a lovely tribute to you too from the Giants head of women's football, Brianna Harvey, saying that she congratulates you on everything you've achieved and throughout your sporting career and with them as well. But she went on to say that one of the greatest legacies that you leave with them is the establishment of the weekly Jacinda Barclay Fearless Award. What is that?
Jacinda Barclay was a teammate of ours for my first few years when I was at the Giants. And a couple of years ago, just before COVID in 2020, Jacinda unfortunately passed away by suicide. And I suppose just to honour her legacy, you know, being a teammate, especially when I came to the Giants first, she was one of the girls that kind of took me under my wing and kind of looked after me while I was over there. And yeah, unfortunately, in October 2020, she died by suicide. So I suppose I just wanted in some way that, you know, her legacy be honoured within the club and she'd never be forgotten. So she was a very a type of player that was very fearless. You know, she'd go for marks or she put her head over the ball and, you know, it's just really tough. And I suppose we created that word and every week after each game the players vote on who, well, it's not who ultimately is the best player on the park on that day, but who's the most fearless player. And at the end of the year, then the fearless award is given to the most fearless player on your team. So,
Well, you need to be fairly fearless in that game. And I know you yourself, you suffered some fairly heavy blows, didn't you, in your time in Australia?
You can say my record of broken bones when I was over there. Yeah, it's quite high. Yeah, I probably broke my nose a couple of times there by thumb. And, you know, obviously it's well documented. I broke my leg quite badly over there. So, yeah, it's a tough sport. But as I said, I was looked after very well anytime I was injured, you know, especially around my leg break, which was, you know, not just career threatening, it was probably, you know, threatening that I wouldn't be able to walk again. So I suppose from that point of view, I was very well looked after. And, you know, thankfully, I was just delighted that I could come back and, you know, play another three seasons after I broke my leg.
Yeah, we spoke to Breed Stack some time ago when she suffered a fairly horrific injury, one that nearly ended her career. And Cora, she spoke very fondly of the support that you gave her at that time. Is there a sense now, as this grows, you know, people heading over to Australia, of Irish people pulling together when they're in need of support?
Yeah, it's hugely important. Obviously, when Breed came out to the club, you know, she's Irish and, you know, it's really important us Irish look after each other. And, you know, I've formed a really strong bond with her and her husband and her child. And yeah, that the time when Breed got injured was very, very tough. But, you know, she had loads of support. And even now, both of us have left Australia, we're still very close friends. And yeah, I think it's really important going out. I have a lot of young girls that are going out because they're going out a lot younger now, you know, 19, 20. And that'll contact me, their parents will contact me. You know, obviously moving to the other side of the world at that age, you know, on your own is quite difficult. So, yeah, there's huge support there. The Irish girls get around each other all the time. So it's really important. But as I said, it's a huge opportunity for girls now to, you know, see that they can have a career in sport. And, you know, that's not just in AFL. You know, it's happening now in soccer. We can see it's happening in rugby. And as I said, you know, when I was a 10-year-old growing up, I always thought I was going to play for Manchester United because I was a huge Roy Keane fan. You know, that could never have happened, but it can now.
Absolutely. And this is a huge chapter closing in your life, isn't it? And you've explained to us what you're going to do back here. Will you carry on as an RTÉ analyst?
Yeah, I sure will. Yeah, that's another side of the game that I love. You know, I obviously love sport. I love all sports. You know, I'd sit down and watch it no matter what the sport is all day. So, yeah, I'll stay involved certainly with RTÉ over the next couple of years. And but I suppose the good thing about us Irish, when we go out there now, we all have had jobs worked or we've careers already had. So, you know, it's a bit different to the professional sports people out there. You know, yeah, they probably go straight into sport. So, yeah, life comes back to normal every time I come home. So, yeah, you know, I'm as busy as ever. It's kind of like you live 6 months of a very quiet life in Australia and then you come home and your life comes very hectic here.
Well, Cora, it's been great to talk to you and we're looking forward to seeing a bit more of Cora back in this part of the world. Now, Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie, is on the line because the Republic of Ireland faced the might of France in their opening European Championship qualifier this evening in Lansdowne Road. Good morning to you, Gavin.
Hey, Claire, how are things?
Fine, a little bit nervous ahead of this big match tonight. How confident do you think the boys in green will be walking out onto that pitch?
I think they will be confident because that is, if you listen to Stephen Kenny's comments at the press conference yesterday, he was pretty bullish. You know, he was talking about how Ireland would not take a step back against even opposition as good as France, that they won't just sit back and accept a slow death. So Kenny is a very good motivator and he will breed confidence into the players as to how they can attack France and the atmosphere will be raucous. But unfortunately, I feel I have to introduce a level of realism and just talk about how, like, I mean, there's no bigger challenge in world football at the moment than facing France. I mean, this is probably the toughest game Ireland will have played since they were eviscerated by Spain back in Euro 2012 all those years ago. So I'm sure the Irish players will be confident, but it is just such a massive ask.
It is, it is. But looking at Mbappe's comments at the press conference, he was saying, we'll have to be aggressive. We'll have to play our game. We're not just going to qualify by beating the Netherlands, which they did 4-0 at home on Friday, which we'll try not to think too much about. But there was a bit of respect being shown there from him.
There was. So we can either luxuriate in the fact that these guys respect us or be worried that they're not complacent and they know exactly what they're walking into, because I've done a lot of these press conferences. You look out for the old phrase, British style of play, you know, like, I mean, managers and players who are asked about Ireland and haven't done their homework will generally talk about other physical and play long ball and play their British style. Both Mbappe and the French manager Didier Deschamps argued the exact opposite yesterday, that they have a reputation for physical play and robust play, but they can get the ball along the ground and pass it, was Didier Deschamps' summation of Ireland as he was showering us with accurate analysis yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, they've evidently done their homework, so they've paid Ireland plenty of respect, although maybe we might have been more comforted in some French complacency.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the game plan is here? Let's talk about Mbappe and how he will be defended tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you can just try and mitigate against him, really, rather than stop him. He's probably the best player in world football at the moment. We saw it with a hat-trick in the World Cup final in Qatar back in December. He is in extraordinary form and scored another two goals against the Netherlands on Friday. So Ireland will not, it won't be just all-out defence from Ireland. They will try and attack France. The France have a couple of vulnerabilities, but it might be more counter-attacking than Ireland dominating the ball. Stephen Kenny, while he did talk boldly about not taking a step back and committing to attack France, he said that Ireland will need fire and ice, so there will be provisions to deal with Mbappe. But, you know, the harsh reality of this game is that Ireland can do everything right and make no major mistakes and still lose the game, because France have Mbappe and they have a whole load of other world-class players. It's a pretty daunting ask.
And how crucial will Evan Ferguson, our new superhero, be for the Ireland squad?
The new Lord and Saviour, all of 18 years of age. Look, I mean, he's always been touched with the kind of precocity, Claire. He played for Bohemian's first team when he was 14. I think everyone is surprised that he's emerged already to be ready to lead the Irish line at 18 years of age, but he will be very important. His hold-up play for a teenager is really good. That will get Ireland up the pitch. And look, whatever chances Ireland carve out tonight, they have to take them. They have to be ruthless in front of goal. And Ferguson, while he scores, 18 minutes into his first start against Latvia last midweek, he is a good goal scorer. He has a knack of popping up in the right position. And he'll have to, if Ireland are going to get anything out of tonight, you'll have to do exactly that.
Any chance the French are unsettled in the camp after Griezmann was lost his captaincy to Mbappe? Or is that all sorted out, as Mbappe seemed to suggest?
Yeah, more bad news for your listeners. That seems to be sorted out. I was clutching at those straws last week. So Mbappe succeeded Hugo Lloris as captain. He's only 24, but he got the captaincy last week. Antoine Griezmann seemingly wanted the captaincy. There was, anonymous quotes attributed to people close to Griezmann after Mbappe got the captaincy, saying that Griezmann was very upset and he was considering his position in the French team. So all eyes on the Netherlands game on Friday. And 2 minutes in, Mbappe passes the ball to Griezmann. Griezmann scores and Griezmann leaps into Mbappe's arms. So no issues there. Mbappe did the press conference at the Aviva Stadium yesterday. All talk about his captaincy. Doesn't seem to be any disorder or upset in the camp. So, no, those straws that were clutching last week have been tossed to the
wind. Listen, your entire analysis this morning has been grounded in reality. So in that spirit, how do you think it's going to go?
I think Ireland will lose. I don't think it will be a loss of their dignity, to be quite honest. Ireland will compete against France. The atmosphere will be too good to allow them to do anything otherwise. But you have to be realistic. Ireland can play very well tonight and still lose, because France are just that good. So I think we'll lose, but I don't think we will lose heavily. I think it'll be enough to take out of a defeat into the rest of what is admittedly a very daunting qualifying campaign.
Francis says as long as we don't lose 10-0, it will be a bonus. That's not going to happen. I refuse to believe that's going to happen. And we'll all be watching. Say again?
Who said that about
a listener? A listener got in touch to say, as long as we don't lose 10-0. But you're not saying that's going to happen. You're not saying that's going to happen.
Ireland has never Ireland have probably lost too many games under the current manager, but they've never lost a competitive game by more than a goal. They've always been competitive, and there have been small margins that have gone against them. They've never faced a challenge like this before, but this is the challenge that they've been bracing themselves for. This is what they've been preparing for. It'll be a brilliant atmosphere in Dublin tonight. I don't think that Ireland will win, but I expect them to compete pretty well.
We'll all be watching Ireland versus France in the Euro 2024 qualifier, 7 o'clock live on RT2 and the RT Player. There'll be a live blog on rt.ie/sport and the RT News app, and live commentary too on 2FM's Game On. Gavin, thank you so much for joining us. Now, coming up next, lots of gossip for you. We're talking about when celebrity interviews go wrong. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.